Broadview Road, your good time headquarters in Parma, and by Whiting College. Phone 861-3626 for registration information.
This is Denny Martin. For the next 2 hours, we'll trace the music of two of America's most popular musicians. We'll find out the basis for their music using their music itself and talking to those two musicians. For the next 2 hours, Seals and Crofts.
See the curtains hanging in the window in the evening on a Friday night. Little light is shining through the window, lets me know everything's all right. Summer breeze makes me feel fine.
Beginnings were realized in an album simply entitled Seals and Crofts. The music in this album sounds in character as medieval as Seals and Crofts wanted it to be. This medieval character also carries through to their second album, Down Home. Let's listen to See My Life and Ride and Thumb from those first two albums.
Oh, you rush to and fro to attain, though you dwell upon the shore of history.
Notice the distinctive character that the mandolin adds. This distinctive character and the first two albums are, in fact, a favorite of their master, Dash Crofts.
Some of our favorite songs are still on the first album and the second album, which will be released in October. Technically and musically, they weren't as loose, and because we were still looking for a vehicle to put our music into. And you know, our voices were a little bit tight, then we weren't as relaxed as we are now and used to recording. But still, the material in the first album, it's got some really great songs in it.
How has the Baha'i movement influenced what you are doing musically?
We're playing different instruments, and the subjects that we're writing about are different.
As a matter of fact, we were Baha'is before Seals and Crofts ever was born. The first album we ever did, we were Baha'is, so you can see it's changed the music entirely. We even played different instruments before we became Baha'is. I was a drummer and he played horn. And we started writing these kind of songs after we were Baha'is because we had altogether a different concept, a different awareness of life, a different outlook, and our motives were different too. I mean, rather than wanting to have money, Cadillacs, cars, women, and all that, our motives changed to the unification of the planet, and that became more important than anything in our whole lives, you know, because we can see how badly the world needs to be unified right now.
Dash, how did you get started in music?
I started playing piano when I was two. When I could reach the keyboards is when I started to play, although I never did stay with it professionally or didn't take any lessons on it. I always heard a lot of things in my mind, so I'd try to pick them out on the piano. And then my mother got hold of me one day and took me to school and walked in the band room and said, which one of these instruments do you want to play? And so I said, I guess I'll play those, and it was drums. So I played drums most of my career up until Seals and Crofts started, and then we were writing songs that didn't really call for drums as much as some other instruments, so I found the mandolin, which was really an ornament on my brother's wall, and I took it off and started helping write songs with it, and so we kept that instrumentation from then on. We thought it was a good combination, and it had sort of a medieval feeling about it, and so we just kept it, you know. Besides, I fell in love with the instrument, you know. It was such a beautiful sound.
You mentioned Seals and Crofts getting together. How did Seals and Crofts get together?
Well, we've known each other a long time. We've known each other most of our lives. We worked together in and out of other groups. And the way we got together was sort of by accident. We were in a group of seven people, and it dissolved, and the only people that were left were me and Jimmy. So we just started writing songs, and before we knew it, we had 30 or 40 songs, and then our manager, Marcia Day, came along and said, I'd like to manage it and see if we could get some stuff recorded, because we were not really particular really interested in recording. We just wanted to play for our own enjoyment.
But we hadn't even thought about it. We didn't know whether the music, you know, would be accepted or not. Mm-hmm. Because, there was different subjects and things, and was trying to use some of the thoughts and things that we had found in the Baha'i teachings.
The Baha'i religion that Seals and Crofts talked about is the basis for their music. It becomes even more apparent in songs from their third Warner Brothers album, Year of Sunday, of which the title is a quote from the Baha'i scriptures. At this point, their current bass player, Bobby Lichtig, also a Baha'i, joined the group. We'll listen to the title cut, Year of Sunday, Ancient of the Old, and 'Cause You Love. We'll also hear Dash Crofts discuss Antoinette and Jim Seals discuss paper airplanes.
I understand that I saw the night that you wrote a tune. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, we haven't got a name for it yet, but I was doodling around on the piano and coming up with some chord changes, and it gave Jimmy some thoughts with a horn, so he picked up his horn, and Bobby picked up his flute, and we just wrote another instrumental. I don't know if we're putting words to it or not yet, but we have a basis down for it now. Maybe we'll call it Lua and Joshua or something like that. I don't know. It was just an instrumental that had some changes to it that gave us all some inspiration, and you just can't sit there. When you get inspired, you have to grab your horn or something and do something. So we wrote one while we were here.
How long does it normally take you to write a tune?
I think it varies a lot. It depends on whether the idea comes first or whether you have a concept in your mind or whether it's a melody. A lot of the times, there's a whole idea from one word that you're given. Like, what's a good example? One song that has a title that gives you the whole concept right away. Boy Down the Road, for example, is a story about a young girl and a boy that lived across the valley from her. And another song is one called Antoinette. And just the music alone gave us both a whole picture of the song right away of a young fair damsel running down the steps toward the seashore in her bare feet with a bonnet and a white lace dress, looking for her lover that was already gone. And it was such a strong feeling when we wrote the song that we actually felt that there were two people trying to get back together again after death somehow. And we still kind of feel that way.
Paper airplanes about.
It was written more or less from the point of a person who wanted to be a father and who had spent his lifetime and never had a child to leave behind, and he was on his deathbed and wanted something that he could leave behind for the world to remember him. And it was written actually in Seattle in a hotel. And the paper airplanes, I make these little airplanes sometimes, and I'll throw them and they'll go all in a circle and come back. And that was where the idea came from. I'm a man.
The fourth album, Summer Breeze, should be considered their first hit album. The song Summer Breeze was in fact their first hit record, and their second hit, Hummingbird, is also included.
How did the tune Hummingbird get together?
Hummingbird was kind of our own thing that we made up, a symbolic story about Baha'u'llah. Baha'u'llah, I guess he told you, was the prophet of the Baha'i faith, the originator of it. And Baha'u'llah was a small man physically. He was a small man who had long hair and a beard. And the first feelings that people would get when they came close to him is they wanted to protect him from his enemies. And they said, after being around him for a while, they realized he was the protector of all mankind. But the first, from just seeing him, they wanted to protect him because of his smallness and delicate. And yet his pen was very strong. It changed the hearts of millions of people already in the world with writings. So we used a hummingbird because the prophet is unique and a hummingbird is unique. It's very small and delicate and flies from flower to flower. And the hummingbird is the only bird in the world that can fly backwards, so it's unique. And we use the hummingbird then as a symbolic story in Mahalo.
We'll be back with more of the Seals and Crofts concert on WNCR in just a minute. Have opening soon in the Cleveland area. It's Broadview Joe's, located on Broadview and Pleasant Valley Roads in Parma. And don't be surprised if it turns into your favorite good time spot. You see, Broadview Joe's is preparing itself right now for its all-new grand reopening, featuring the great crowds, good drinks, and good times Broadview Joe's has always been known for. Got a whole lot more coming, too. Some of the best live bands around will perform at Broadview Joe's on Mondays, Wednesdays, and weekends. Also on Mondays, ladies get the drinks half price. But no matter what night you head for Broadview Joe's, you gotta know there'll be plenty of people in action waiting for you at your fun headquarters, Broadview Joe's on Broadview and Pleasant Valley in Parma. Yeah, watch for that grand reopening coming real soon, Broadview Joe's.
Seals and Crofts added another dimension to their musical basis with this album, that of marriage. Are there guidelines for marriage from the Baha'i religion?
Yes, there are. There are different guidelines in just about everything. What a person should feel, in my own mind, when I think about marriage, is that about the only way in this day that marriage can work is if both people are trying to obey the will of God, to try to bring about the unity of the planet, and to reflect in their lives the teachings that are here for this age. It's like the physical aspect of marriage disappears in, what, 2 or 3 months. And if it's no deeper than that, then you find out that 9 times out of 10, the people will split up. So Baha'u'llah says that we have to be married in obedience to the will of God. If both parties are trying to live a life according to what they feel is spiritual, then there's usually no problems. More minor problems are in all marriages, I guess, with people learning to deal with them. But no major things, you know, would come along if both parties feel that way. So he's outlined marriage laws and new burial laws, all kinds of laws, new divorce laws that are designed for this age instead of the ones that are outdated.
How did the tune Summer Breeze come about?
It was written about 2 years ago, and I was just sitting in the house one day, and I got to thinking about how we're raised here. Most people in North America are raised to think that that being married and home life is, you know, you go to work and in the morning, and you come home in the evening, and you pet the dog, and you pick up the newspaper, and you watch television, and this is it. And so when I got married, I found out that it wasn't that. That old image of what marriage was and what home was is just not true. Not for me. I thought that's what I wanted, and I found out after that I was married that those things are all in your mind, that I'm not a homebody. I love to travel. You know, I've done it all my life. But anyway, this is the American dream, it seems like. And so, by gollies, when that place, though, that we have in our mind is really a sweet place, you know, because you dream of coming home and your wife giving you a hug when you come in the door, and then if life was like that, it would just be beautiful.
Side to it, too, even though we travel and have been around the world several times, we still enjoy our family life a lot, and our manager sees to it that we get those days free. We go out for 10 days or so, and then we come home and take some weeks off so we can really enjoy life. Now, especially since we both have new children, Jimmy has a 7-month-old baby, and I have a 9-month-old baby, little girl. And these things are important to us also. And yeah, we just figured...
That little spot, the little Jasmine spot in our minds, it takes us there when we go home.
Yeah, it does. And besides, a lot of people feel the same way. I think it was why it was such a big hit. People like that warm feeling when you come home. And it's something you can think about all day while you're at work or whatever you do, you can think about boy, I'd like to get home and pick up the paper and pet my dog, and you know, these.
You know, it's something too. It reflects the beauty in marriage, I think, because a lot of people don't agree with the idea of marriage. And I'm not talking about the legal document. I'm talking about the commitment both people have for one another to try to make life easier and more beautiful for one another. This is the thought that I'm trying to reflect, is that I believe Summer Breeze reflects that type
the institution of marriage.
Yeah.
I told him before he came in that we dedicated the album to our wives to uphold the institution of marriage, because it's turned into a very unpopular thing nowadays, and if people knew the depth or the deepness of marriage, I don't think they would feel that way anymore. You can make it work for yourselves if you know how to go about it.
See the curtains hanging in the window in the evening on a Friday night.
Let's listen to East of Ginger Trees, the Euphrates, and Advance Guards from the Summer Breeze album.
Go east, I don't care where we go.
The fifth album, Diamond Girl, reinforces their feelings on the Baha'i religion and on marriage and the family. Where were the photographs for the Diamond Girl album taken?
They were taken at a friend's house, a friend of the photographer. The photographer set it all up.
Why that particular type of pose?
We wanted a warm feeling, first of all. We started out, we had some pictures taken by another photographer out on a location, which was a dried lake, and it was really an incredible scenery. It looked like the moon, practically. And we had some taken with us out there, but it was a very cold feeling, and we were dark and mysterious looking, and that wasn't the feeling we wanted. We wanted a warm, friendly, home, family feeling, sort of. And then after the pictures were taken, we decided to dedicate the whole album to our wives, because to support family unity. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of families that are not very unified anymore, and as well as to uphold the institution of marriage, because marriage, I think, goes a lot farther beyond just a physical thing. It's according to the Baha'i writings, it goes on in other worlds of God too. It's a union that always lasts. So, besides that reason, we're in love with our wives, so we dedicated the album to them and our children.
This album showed the versatility of Seals and Crofts. It showed that they could rock and roll. The song Standing on a Mountaintop has a copyright date of 1964. Was this the first time that you'd done it on an album?
Yes, as a matter of fact, it is. We've had the song in our repertoire for a long time, and we always kind of wanted to do a rock and roll song anyway, you know, and because I'm a rock and roller at heart.
Do you think you've changed in style any from 1964 to today?
Yeah, more or less. The funny thing is that it's good old plain basic rock and roll, and nobody gets tired of that, I don't think.
Hey, yeah!
It showed that they could play jazz. That's Jim Seals on sax.
Seals and Crofts will return right after this.
Cuts from the Diamond Girl album. Jessica, It's Gonna Come Down, Nine Houses, Dust on My Saddle, and In Tone My Servant.
Jessica, dear Jessica, forget me.
Seals and Crofts will return right after this.
Music family, what do you do in your spare time?
We're taking up some new hobbies, motorcycle riding. We both have dirt bikes. Chris, Jimmy broke his hand the other day, so Jimmy just gave it up. Man,
it was a short career in dirt biking.
We got into scuba diving. We went to Hawaii and did some scuba diving. It's a lot of fun. You know, anything that's outdoor, boats, we're both boat freaks. And anything to do with water, we get into. Skiing, we went skiing the other day. And we just like, now that we have a chance to enjoy outdoors a little bit, we're trying to do it because we've been spending most of our lives with music, like you said, even at home. And it's really enjoyable to get out and do a few things for a change, you know. What else do you, he juggles, plays a garden hose. You know, those few other weird things like that. His granddaddy taught him how to do that thing he does with his voice on the stage. It's really strange. He does
can you do that?
Two songs. Yeah, I can do it, but not nearly as good. It takes practice, and I haven't practiced it much. He does, he says O-R-E, and then when the R and E get to a certain point, you can hear the little overtone, and then you just control that with your tongue. You go, see, I can do it a little bit, can't I? You do it, show them how to do it.
It wasn't too clear tonight. No time.
All right. It's clear now.
Finally came through there at the end.
Yeah, you can hear it. His granddad was, wasn't he full-blood Indian?
He was about, if you had to gauge in that kind of figures, I guess about three-quarters Indian Cherokee. And a lot of those things that he brought with him from Tennessee, they used to have what they call, they would holler K-Ro. And there was a certain sound that they produced, and the mountains would echo. And so whenever one of them was going to go to visit the relatives, you could hear him hollering K-Ro coming through the mountains maybe for 5 or 10 miles, and they'd know to put on an extra plate for dinner.
K-Ro, right.
Yeah, it was a certain thing. It's kind of like the yodeling that they do in Switzerland. You know, they had their own little signals and things. And of course, in those days, they had a lot of stills. They made whiskey in Tennessee and Arkansas, and so they had a special call. Also, if the revenueers come to get them, they'd make that.
What inspired the tune "We Will Never Pass This Way Again"?
Well, we were just thinking about how a person comes into this world and is here for maybe, oh, at the most, maybe 70, 80 years, if he's real lucky. And then the person goes through what we call death, and he leaves. You don't see him anymore. And so Baha'u'llah explains in some of the writings that this is the only plane of existence where mankind has free will to do what he wants, to change our destiny, to grow under our own decisions, that in the matrix or the womb world, we grew on the mercy and bounty of God. In other words, we grew all of these things that we're using here, the eyes and the ears and things. And in the next world also, we'll grow out of the mercy and the bounty, the absolute gifts and things like this. So we were just more or less saying that while we're here, we want to make this life special. We want to enjoy it as much and get as much richness out of it as we can. Learn all we can about science and religion and how to use the two tools, so that when we go to the next world, that we can go and be free, not have to worry.
Because we may never pass this way again.
Right.
So they say, his brother came and they let it slip away.
Yeah, I believe that was written in New York in a hotel. Diamond Girl was kind of a written so that a person could relate to it on two levels. One for our wives and for the album, which was, the physical level. And the other level is the spiritual level, because Baha'u'llah received his revelation in the form of a maiden. He said that the maid of heaven appeared to him and taught him all that hath been and told him that he would be the one. So with Abraham, a long time ago, he struck the rock and received his revelation in the form of a rock. Moses received his in a bush, which is the next kingdom. above visible kingdom, the dove descended on the shoulder of Christ. And then behold, I received his in the form of the maiden, which is still another level. So Diamond Girl refers, could refer to the spiritual, speaking to the soul of mankind.
Tell you about a new club opening soon.
Do you know what your next release will be?
I think, as far as I know, and it's not official yet either, but I think it's going to be Ruby Jean and Billy Lee, because they say it's getting as much airplay as Diamond Girl in some parts of the country. So Cher has already cut a version of it. We gave her permission to change the lyrics and use Chastity Son, and so she cut a version of her own for her daughter. And I understand Glenn Campbell's cutting it, covering it now too, so it should be out within the next week or so.
WNCR, Cleveland.
One final question. Of all the tunes that you've done, what do you think is your most representative?
Oh, you mean of the total style? I'll tell you, I don't know. There's about, within what we're doing, there's several different styles that exist within the one, and I don't think any of them by themselves reflect the whole thing that we're doing. Diamond Girl reflects more of a Motown, what you would expect a Motown feeling to be, and yet it's not that. It has a combination of almost a country sound in places. Some of the other tunes reflect almost a classical style within whatever it is, but I don't think there's any one of them that really reflects the whole thing.
Okay, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
See the curtains hanging in the window in the evening on a Friday night. Little light is shining through the window, lets me know everything's all right.
Tonight's Seals and Crofts special has been brought to you by Broadview Joe's Lounge on Broadview Road, your Good Time headquarters in Parma, and by Whiting College. Phone 861-3626 for registration information. WNCR.